Good afternoon. I'm going to call this August 5th, 2025 regular meeting of the Chatham County Savannah Metropolitan Planning Commission to order. We're going to take a moment for Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. For staff, petitioners, and the members of the public who are participating, our procedures will be as follows. The agenda is broken down into several parts. First, notices, proclamations, and acknowledgments. Next, the consent agenda, for which consists of items for which the applicant is in agreement with the staff recommendation and there are no known objections. This will be followed by the regular meeting, old business, or regular business, old business, and adjournment. For each agenda item on regular business, the staff will make a presentation. The staff presentation will then be followed by a presentation from the petitioner, should they elect to do so. The petitioner will be allotted a time frame of no more than 20 minutes. The board may then ask questions of the petitioner or staff for clarification. Afterwards, the floor will be open for public comment. If you wish to comment on the item that the board is considering at the time, members of the public that are in person must fill out a speaker card and give that to the staff. If you're participating virtually, use the raise your hand feature on your screen. Do not use the feature until the item you want to comment on is being considered. At the appropriate time, you will be recognized and staff will unmute your microphone. At the end of your allotted time, as determined by the chair, your microphone will be muted and the chair will recognize the next speaker. The total public comment time will be less than or equivalent to the petitioner's presentation time. Therefore, for those participating online, it is important to use the raise your hand feature during the hearing on that item. If you want to speak on a petition, once the floor is closed for public comment on a petition, no additional public speakers will be allowed. If you are not certain you want to speak on a topic, still use the raise your hand feature, or if in person, fill out the speaker card. You will have the option to decline when your name is called. After public comment, the petitioner will have the opportunity for rebuttal and then address any additional needed questions by the board. Finally, the board will take action. All right, I need a motion for the agenda.
Call's motion to approve the agenda.
All right, I have a motion and a second. A voice vote, please. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. We have no notices, proclamations, or acknowledgments. We do have an item that's been requested to be removed from the final agenda. That's 1025 West Gwinnett Street, minor master plan amendment. Is there anyone here who is here for that item? Okay. We do have two items requested to be withdrawn. Oh, yeah.
Cole's motion to remove item one from the final agenda.
Ross, second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. Items requested to be redrawn are 36 parcels on Dawes Avenue. It's a Flume amendment, and 36 parcels on Dawes Avenue is a map amendment. Is there anyone here for the Dawes parcels? All right, a motion.
Cole's motion to withdraw items two and three from the final agenda.
Ross, second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? We have three items on the consent agenda. Approval of the June 24th, 2025 meeting minutes. Camilla Trail, major subdivision, 25003342-sub-P. And Meadow Lakes Phase 2 Major Subdivision, 25-003102-sub-P. Anyone here to speak on those? All right, I'll entertain a motion.
Cole's motion to approve the consent agenda.
Ross, second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, we have no old business, and we'll move right into regular business. 647, 649, 651 East 32nd Street, variance to a GDP 25-003581-ZA.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair, members of the board. This is Edward Morrow, Director of Development Services and Current Planning here at the MPC. The first request is a variance to a GDP for the purpose of combining three non-conforming lots that are in the RSF 6 zoning district for the purpose of developing a single family home on those combined parcels. You can see an aerial of the three parcels that are requested to be combined on your screen. Just to show you, I apologize, I said RSF 6, it is actually TR2, which is the traditional residential 2 zoning district. And so here, ordinarily, we would, this is here because we would see a requirement for 3,000 square foot minimum for the purpose of creating a parcel in this district for this particular use. You can also see that there is a low density residential flume designation for it presently. In looking at the Sanborn maps, you can see that historically there were dwellings on these parcels. I believe they are at this point uninhabitable and either condemned or demolished at present. And so to the right, you can see the survey plat that has been prepared, and these are the three parcels. You would end up with a width of 48 feet and a depth of, I believe, just short of 60 feet for an area of about 2,854, which is short of the 3,000 required. The zoning ordinance looks favorably on using non-conforming lots of record for home development. And so should the petitioner choose to, they would be able to, by right, develop a home as shown right now, but they are interested in recombining these combining these three parcels for their sale. And so with that, staff does recommend approval of this request, again, to permit the combination of these parcels for the formation of a parcel totaling 2,854 square feet in area where 3,000 square feet is required. Happy to answer any questions.
My apologies. I was supposed to take a break so that we could introduce new staff members, and I think we're going to do that now, and we'll get the petitioner up right after that. Okay, we can do it. Yeah, we'll do it right after this one. Don't let me forget. All right. Is the petitioner present? Would you like to come up and you don't have to. Okay.
I'll leave you have questions.
Are there any questions for the petitioner or for staff? All right. Do we have any citizens who are interested in commenting on this? Anybody online?
No, ma'am.
Okay. All right. I guess we're ready for a motion or a discussion.
Cole's motion to approve staff's recommendation.
Kegler, second.
All right. We have a motion and a second. Ms. Amick?
Yes.
Ms. Bowles?
Yes.
Mr. Coles?
Yes.
Mr. Kegler?
Yes.
Mr. Melder?
Yes.
Mr. Notrika?
Yes.
Mr. Plunk?
Yes.
Ms. Ross?
Yes.
Mr. Welsh?
Yes.
Mr. Wywoody?
Yes.
I too say yes. Motion passes. All right. Now let's do introductions.
Okay. I just wanted to take a moment to introduce three new staff members. We've got Keffi Maxwell, who will be working in advanced planning and with us on the comprehensive plan. We've got Jody Brown, who will be working in historic preservation. You guys should come up so folks can see you. Or at least come closer to the podium so folks can see who you are. We've got Jody Brown, who is going to be working with us as a principal planner over in historic preservation. And Hunter Key, who is a GIS analyst and programmer, will be working with us in SAGE. So I wanted to take the opportunity to welcome them to our team.
Well, thank you. Welcome. Glad you're here.
Thank you.
All right, now on to 1800 East 63rd Street, future land use map amendment from Conservation and Residential General to Residential General 25-002852-CA.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the board. Once again, this is Edward Morrow. We have a pair of petitions today related to 1800 East 63rd Street, a future land use map amendment to change the designation from conservation and residential general to residential general, and also a rezoning from RSF6 to RMF2-16, so from a single-family designation to a multifamily designation. It may be advisable that we hear these together. Obviously, two votes will be considered, but there is one condition that staff will have with regard to the recommendation on the future land use map amendment that is a little bit atypical. And so this is a petition that has come to this board several times in the past. Several members of this board have actually also seen this a few times. And I'll just state at the outset, because I know there's been a lot of conversation and concern about how it is that development should be approached here. So just this is a situation in which staff does have an alternative recommendation. And so today I would just encourage you all to consider balance here, right? The idea is that we have some pressing concerns that are both on the housing side and also on the environmental side. And the hope is that we would offer the facts here on the floor that would permit the board to make the absolute best determination for our citizens. And so in looking at the future land use map at present, you can see it indicates conservation use adjoining the Truman Parkway and residential general. The petitioner is asking that the entire map would be changed to reflect residential general, which is that golden color for the entire parcel. You can see the light yellow that is over to the east indicates a low density single family residential pattern of development. Conservation is green. On the other side of the Truman Parkway, you can see kind of that bluish color that is civic and institutional that represents Memorial Hospital. And there are some smaller, more so traditional configured lots that are just to the north of that on the western side of the Truman Parkway. I think it's also significant for us to look at a plat of this particular parcel just to orient ourselves to the features of the site. So Reuben Clark Drive, which is proposed to be the primary means of ingress egress, is here to the south. Actually, I'm going to zoom in just a bit here. There is an easement here that is indicated back in 2001 when this plat was created. This is actually a power easement that runs across the property. You can see here on the aerial imagery, there are those power lines that kind of run in sort of a north-south fashion. And the property is adjoined by public rights of way. So this is 62nd Street. It is indicated as unopened right here. And also 63rd Street indicated as unopened. Finally, I'd just like to note here the surveyor at the time indicated that this was upland. So I would venture to speculate that the designation of residential general aligns with this identification of this as the upland acreage on this parcel. So there are, again, some environmental considerations here. We can look at the city's 100-year storm hydraulic model to show that this is likely to be inundated in the event of a 100-year flood event. And also there are wetlands that are on the parcel, and they largely cover – the parcel is largely covered with both of these environmental conditions. I'm going to go through the criteria today, again, just in the interest of – everybody sort of understanding what the real issues are. In looking at the relationship of this proposed amendment to the existing and future land uses, this is a site that adjoins a well-established single-family neighborhood. And so the configuration that this board considered previously has been amended directly to reflect the interests of these neighbors that are immediately adjoining this parcel. The developer did take time to talk to the community since 2022, and they have situated the proposed residential development closer to the highway rather than closer to the neighborhood. They have also kind of precluded the potential for access from the public rights of way that immediately adjoin the property in favor of access via a private access easement on property that is still currently, I believe, or previously was owned by the hospital and may still be under their control to some extent. The relationship of the proposed amendment to any applicable goals and objectives. Again, here, this is where that keyword balance comes from. So we know that we have a regional housing shortage because of economic conditions. And when we consider the policies that we have in place, it does encourage us to consider the environmental constraints in any development that we choose. So I will note that residential general, again, is the designation for development at densities up to 20 dwelling units per acre. The MPC staff here did have a meeting with a contingent of neighborhood leadership, during which time they expressed great concern, and actually it was real to us that they had previously had conversations potentially with some city staff about this parcel being placed in permanent conservation. That effort was not successful. Ultimately, they would not like to see this developed, but they came to kind of understand what it was that the developer was attempting to do and what protections they could request so that they could ideally not be inundated by worsening floodwaters and not be blocked from their homes by worsening traffic. Those were their primary concerns. So in considering all of that, staff does recommend approval of this, more so in the fashion that you see on your screen right now with the split designation, but to be flip-flopped to reflect the fact that the petitioner intends to develop adjoining Truman Parkway and to leave the conservation designation adjoining the neighborhood so that it is clear that this is property that is supposed to be maintained in conservation. We understand that the interest is in ensuring that the gross land area be considered in the density that will be permitted ultimately here. And so even if the full 14 plus acres is permitted with regard to density, staff recommends retaining this split designation for the future land use map. I'm happy to allow the board to deliberate here or to continue.
To continue with the zoning?
With the zoning. Mm-hmm.
Can we hear from the petitioner unless there's a desire to continue with this discussion for the next item? Okay.
Fine to take them together rather than have two separate hearings. It's really the
same. Let's listen to your discussion of the future land use. I actually have cards here where the land use is, the Flume has specific requests for speakers.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Robert McCorkle here on behalf of the petitioner. We're really prepared to do this all in one shot as opposed to separating them out, so I apologize for that. Representing Columbia Ventures here today, as was mentioned, we're asking to adjust the future land use map to allow for residential general over the entirety of the parcel, which was the recommendation of the staff in the city of Savannah when we went through the process of discussing this, the future land use map. I understand the city's or the staff's position is to approve the request, but to suggest that we split the property back conservation by flip-flopping the two sides. But ultimately, we're not really changing the future land use map. We're just adjusting where the property is going to be developed. As far as the future land use map is concerned, our intent is to develop the property per that division line that the staff is suggesting, even though we've requested it over the entirety. And the reason for that is because our intent is to put ultimately a conservation use easement in place over the entire eastern portion of the property, which is about 9 acres. So ultimately, the staff, or in our meetings with the neighborhood, there was discussion, as was mentioned, about the desire to have a conservation easement over the entirety of the parcel. Obviously, my client is a developer. They purchased this property with the intent of putting a multifamily parcel, immediately next to what is, as you know, one of the two largest employers in Chatham County. And so making the entire parcel conservation use easement does not really satisfy what their need for their use of their private property. But what we have done over the course of this, and we'll talk more about this in the zoning, we have done over the course of this process through our meetings with the neighbors is flip-flop the project so that ultimately when we were here in 2023, we got an approval from the MPC by a vote of 11-1 to rezone the property for RMF 220. Residential general is the required Flume designation in order to have multifamily on a site in the city of Savannah. It anticipates that you're going to have density that's over 10 units an acre. What we come back with now, and you can see here on the screen the difference between our 2023 proposal and our 2025 proposal, is basically the same number of units. We anticipate having 198 units on the site, but what we are leaving in place is basically a 500-foot undisturbed buffer between us and the neighbors. When we were denied at City Council, it was primarily related to the objection of the neighbors of having what we were requesting at the time was a five-story building immediately adjacent to single-family residential. And there was concern about, because the water flows downhill there towards the canal, concern about stormwater and other things, but primarily it was the size of the buildings next to them. And so over this last 2 years, we've worked really hard, and even though this is a more expensive way to develop the property, we've worked hard to come up with a plan that allows us to push this over to Truman Parkway, which is also closer to the flood outfall, and to leave this 500-foot buffer in place. Our desire was to put a conservation use easement in place over the 9 acres. So though we can't meet the request of some neighbors of putting a blanket conservation easement so this property can never be used for anything, what we're ultimately wanting to do is put 9 of the 14 acres into a conservation easement, which is about 2/3 of the property. And so we agree with staff that we don't really think we're changing it. What we're suggesting that we do is to handle the conservation easement in a private manner through a conservation use easement that's permanent and perpetual on the property. And what staff is suggesting is that the future land use map be flopped so that that area actually be designated as conservation. And that's really the distinction between what we're requesting and what staff is requesting. I don't think it's inconsistent with what's there now. This property was rezoned for multifamily back in 2000. It has been single family residential for some time. When we get to the zoning, I'm going to talk about the fact that single family residential is not a viable use on this site and likely never will be. And so all we're trying to do is to adjust the future land use map so that we can move our site in accordance with the requests of the neighbors and with the requests of our many neighborhood meetings that our client has had to shift this site over to the west. And again, I'll get to it in the zoning portion, but we have a letter of support requesting approval of this project from Memorial Health. We've received more than, I think, 15 letters that are attached to your agenda supporting approval of this project. We've worked very hard. Some of those approvals are from people who were here objecting when we were here in 2023. And we worked very hard over a period of 2 years to come up with a plan for this project that both provides housing, very much needed housing for the city, in a location that people can basically walk and bike to work, in exchange for this request, which is allowing us to construct this project on the west side of the property instead of the east side of the property. And with that, I'm happy to answer any questions specifically about the future land use map.
Are there any questions from commissioners? All right, I do have a card on that is specific for this item. Robin Gunn.
Good afternoon, Madam Chairman and members of the Commission. Thank you for your service to our community. My name is Robin Gunn, and I live at 2243 Armstrong Drive, which is 2.5 blocks from the parcel. I do want to preface this by saying that when we get to agenda item number 9, I am in support. But I do have a specific issue with number 8, which was originally proposed to just change the flume designation from residential general conservation solely to residential general. And that was in order to, as we've already heard from Mr. McCorkle and also Mr. Morrow, to make everything compatible in between the land use map, and because the multifamily would only be allowed under that residential general. I feel that that doesn't make sense because Mr. Baines of Columbia Ventures is actually going to put in place, as we have heard, a conservation easement. So why are we removing conservation easement from the flume and then adding an actual easement in the same 2 votes? It doesn't make sense. I like the idea of the flip-flop of the map, but I also didn't know that was coming, so I wrote this down and I'm going to share it with you now. My alternative proposal would be to write a text amendment that would allow multifamily development for the residential general / conservation flume category, perhaps even requiring that a minimum percentage of each parcel under that designation be conserved. In this way, this development with its conservation easement will be fully consistent with the flume, but also it may provide incentive for other large parcels like in more currently rural areas that are being transformed into apartment complexes. And large parcels of land in Chatham County could be partially preserved while also providing an increase in the housing supply. I suspect that with some conservation allowed in those, that if other developers were willing to proceed in that fashion, there would be less neighborhood opposition. You'll hear from me later. Thank you.
Thanks. All right. I have three cards here that did not specify whether they wanted to be heard during the flume or during the actual rezoning. One is Olive.
That's me. Oliver Castagari. I'd like to just be heard in general.
Okay. Do you want to wait until the zoning comes up?
Yes. That's one more.
Okay.
Okay.
Actually, if you have concerns with the first one, we'll probably be taking a vote on it before we take a vote on the second one.
Oh, then my concern was very simple. It was just the map.
Come forward, please, and state your name for the record. Sorry.
Hi, my name is Oliver Castagari. I live at 1718 East 60th Street. My concern with the first design was that it would be like in our sight line as soon as we walked out our front door, and there would be like a new road there. My other concern was that we flipped the map and the conservation easement is on the other side, and I was just confused about the bouncing around of things and whether we would be voting on having the easement or the conservation easement on the east side of things like we discussed with in our meetings with Bain's Capital and in our community meetings. I was just kind of confused on the process. That's why I spoke up just now.
Thank you. Any questions for him? Okay. I also have a card from Myra Harrison. Did you want to speak on this item or the next one? Okay.
Good afternoon, Commission, Madam Chairwoman, and I will too would like to thank each and every one of you for what you do for our city. Now, I am speaking.
Just state your name
as
record,
you know,
please.
My name is Myra Harrison. I'm addressed at 1707 East 60th Street. Does everyone see this picture? See, they talk to you about things in a very pretty way, but this picture, I just had to buy a new vehicle. I live on the west side of 60th Street down by the Truman Parkway, where they want to build this thing that's going to push up even more water. So either someone wants to buy me new cars every rain season, or we've got to put a stop to this. Now, the single family supposed proposition, I was taught that a family consisted a nuclear family of a father, two children, a boy and a girl, father, mother. That's four. Multiply four people times how many units they want to build behind my house. That's how many people will be incorporated into my neighborhood. Single family is what they say, but there'll be many, many more people. And speaking of many, many, it was stated that there were many, many meetings with the neighbors. Well, I'm a neighbor. I don't remember meeting with anyone many, many times. However, I did remember having our city manager come out to look at a project that walks around our neighborhood, a walkabout or bicycle riding path that would add more pressure to the flooding that is right beside the Truman Parkway. I don't know if you all were aware of this. They're doing it now. And they want you to agree to put pressure from the homes, the single family homes from the back and from the Truman Parkway around the neighborhood. It's just two streets, really. So what will we be? Inundated with water? Now, my home is not a part of eminent domain. So if you want me to leave it or flood me every rain season, you had better have some money. My point is, leave this neighborhood alone, because no one wants to do anything for the neighborhood. And by the way, have they told you all what method of payment they would take for these units? No. They want you to believe that people who work at Memorial Hospital, doctors, nurses, and the like, will be the ones to inhabit them. I'll bet that it's a government subsidy that they're depending on, because that's how they're going to get their money, because that area has nothing for tourists nor school children, SCAD, et cetera. They have their own housing. Who are they attempting to house? The homeless? Now, I'll say this. The median age of the persons in my neighborhood, because they depend on me to speak for them, is over 60. So I believe that these people are just saying, hey, they'll protest to this point, but soon they'll die out and we can do as we wish. These people deserve to have a peaceful neighborhood, and they deserve not to have their homes flooded. Every time you look, that was my car. From rain. So you want more water to come on that street? Because it will if you build. And this is on the record. And the picture is too. Anyone have any questions for me? I'm done.
Thank you. All right. I do have someone online. Alexander Wolf, would you like to speak now or later?
Oh, I'm happy to speak now.
Okay. Go ahead, please. State your name for the record.
Sure. My name is Alex Wolf, and I live in the neighborhood at 4604 Spring Hill Road. So there's a very good reason why the only thing that's been built on that land in the last 300 years was a canal. This site is known to be a flood-prone wetland, with historical records indicating the presence of the Casey Caton Canal and documented stormwater vulnerabilities. So increasing the residential density in this area, it directly contradicts the Chatham County Comprehensive Plan's stated goals to mitigate flood risks and manage the impacts of climate change. Furthermore, the development threatens to increase pollution, strain existing infrastructure, all while just ignoring the clearly expressed desires of nearby residents to preserve the area for conservation. It's clear that there's no way to build a large structure on this land without negatively and dangerously impacting, as we just saw, the surrounding area. So for that reason, I urge you to reject this proposed land use amendment and development at 1800 East 63rd Street and honor the community's request for sustainable, responsible land use. This water has nowhere to go if we pave over this land that they're proposing. And like I said, in 300 years, all that we built there was a canal. So all that's ever run through that piece of land was water. And if we displace that water, like others have said, it's going to go straight into the neighborhood. And we're already dealing with these flooding issues all over town. We don't need to create one giant problem for all the surrounding areas to solve a different problem. So I urge you to please keep the land as it is for the sake of the, you know, existing residents and homeowners. Thank you.
Thank you. Come on up, Ms. McCorkle.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. A couple of things in response, and then I've got an actual civil engineer here with us that can talk about stormwater, which I think would be instructive. I just want to mention again, the flume already allows multifamily development on the project. What we're trying to do is put that development or residential development period, as far as the flume, including multifamily development allowed on the site. What we're trying to do is move by this process it further away from the houses, not closer to them. It's better for stormwater for us to put it where we're asking to put it as opposed to where it's permitted currently. The city also has a 2025, you know, they've got an updated ordinance for floodplain mitigation as well as for stormwater, which we have to meet. If we don't meet the city's new requirements, which are stricter than the state's, we can't develop the site. It's a site plan issue. And so all this discussion about stormwater all has to be addressed. And if we can't meet the city's ordinances, then we very simply can't develop a site. But what we're asking to do is actually going to be beneficial, not worse than where we're already allowed to develop. And I'm going to have Greg Coleman from Coleman Engineering here talk about that and about the fact that, you know, primarily I think it's important to know that the water from this site flows towards the canal. It doesn't flow towards the houses. And we're in a separate floodplain than most of those houses to the north. And I'll let Greg explain that from an engineering standpoint.
Good afternoon. Greg Coleman with Coleman Company. I've got a drainage exhibit here. We've looked into the stormwater in the area, the existing drainage basins, drainage patterns, et cetera, in the area extensively prior to applying, and have met with the neighborhood to discuss this with them multiple times. So a couple of things to consider here. I think one of the bigger things to understand on the exhibit that you're looking at there in red, there's a dashed line with flow arrows away from it that says ridgeline. That is a ridgeline. So anything north of 61st, the lane, or about midway through those lots running to the north, that is a separate drainage basin than what the subject property is in. So all that water flows north towards Delessips. The small nodes, you can see the gray circles and then the flow paths are either ditches, storm pipes, et cetera. This is all from the city stormwater inventory. So this is the existing stormwater infrastructure that is in the neighborhood now. Anything north or on the south side of 60th Street running north goes to Delessips. It goes to a separate set of or a separate storm drain system, which then goes into the Casey. Anything to the east of the property, there is some stuff to the north of the property that flows into through the property, but those are the undeveloped areas. That's where the unopened right of way is, the lots that are not buildable, have not been built on. There are no homes on them. Those do flow into the property. We'll have to account for that, through our design and development plans. There is water to the east of the site that comes into the property into existing drainage canals and then through, on the south side of the property underneath the shroom into the Casey. But all the lots to the east of this development, most of these lots are at elevation 18 and above, okay? Those are piped systems in the streets, and they do discharge into this property, but they discharge into canals that are at an elevation 0 to 3 feet. Their properties are sitting at elevation 18. So there's almost no way water will stack up from 3 feet to 18, right? We're going to have 15 feet of water before it actually starts backing up water into these properties adjacent that are in the same drainage basin that could be affected here. So I think that is important. If there are drainage issues in the streets, it's due to clogged pipes, undersized storm drain systems, something like that. Hydraulically, water cannot go 15 feet back uphill. So wanted to point that out. With the site development itself, yes, the site is in a floodplain. Yes, it is in a special flood hazard area for the city of Savannah, both of which can be developed in, but we have to meet the city's and FEMA's, or the local flood ordinance, the city's special flood hazard ordinance, and FEMA guidelines with our development. It's not something that we can meet 90% of and get approved. Has to be, you know, we have to meet the letter of the law. We have dug into that deep enough at this stage to feel comfortable that we can mitigate any impact of the floodplain that we are going to going to have here with the project, but be happy to answer any questions.
All right. Are there any questions for the engineer? I have a question.
Yes, ma'am.
Sorry, not from the public.
Okay.
My question is, aren't you going to be moving that ridge line when you fill the property to build the apartments?
No, ma'am. That ridge line is 200, 250 feet off the property.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
The level that you have to fill to build your buildings, your apartments, when you complete the grading portion of it, will it be at the same elevation as the ridgeline or higher than the ridgeline?
It'll be a little bit higher than the ridgeline. However,
you're creating another ridge.
Yes, it will be on stilts. I mean, to Robert's point. So columns.
The plan development pattern is going to be three stories above parking.
Right.
So very similar to other projects that we've talked about in recent
months. So we're not filling this property at all? No fill dirt?
We are filling.
There will be fill, but it won't be at the ridgeline height because there will be parking beneath the buildings. The buildings will be at the proper level.
Right.
The actual living areas will be at the proper level.
The cars will be susceptible to being flooded. Just asking.
All right, so I'm not going to sit here and say that we don't have a Category 5 hurricane and the whole city's inundated with stormwater and we don't have an issue.
Well, it is in the floodplain now, correct?
Sure, it is.
And
yes,
if you don't fill it beyond the floodplain elevation, the base flood elevation, you will have cars that end up with.
I'm not going to tell you. Again, it's quite possible if we get a Cat 4, Cat 5 hurricane and we've got
base
complete
flood
inundation.
Elevation is what they have to have for the flood.
Correct. Yes, ma'am. So we are going to meet that. There is a requirement for the parking. We will meet that elevation. Okay.
Is the ridge line at base flood elevation?
The ridge line is close. I believe the base flood in here is a 9. This is LIDAR in here. So it's an 8, ish. But what I will tell you is, you know, this water works down towards Truman Parkway. Okay. There is a ditch. A canal along Truman Parkway. It feeds down to the culvert for crossings underneath Truman. So there is a point of relief. It is not through this property today. Okay.
The floodplain map take that point of relief into effect or into account?
I would assume so, that FEMA did their job in mapping the flood maps. Yes. I mean, I didn't do it myself. So, a lot of the site where we're developing is at a 9 and 10. It's already higher than the ridgeline, if that makes sense. But this water's working back towards Truman Parkway. So to say that ridgeline is pushing water across the area that we're developing is, if you look at the contours, is really not the case. So if you can see here, here's the development area. Okay. You've got tens and nines. Okay. The ridgeline is here. Okay. This water is pushing this way and this way, but the water that's coming this way, it's not going uphill to where we're developing. It's going into the Truman. There's a deep ditch that runs right here. So all this water is coming this way today.
But that entire area, including the ridgeline, is shown as being in the 100-year floodplain, correct?
Yes, ma'am. Well, these houses are in the 100-year floodplain. All this development's in the 100-year floodplain.
Okay.
On this end. Okay. On this end. These houses up here, the water that comes through this site are elevations 18 to 21. They're on a good high bluff.
I got it.
It drops
but
down.
The people to the north are
yes, ma'am.
Not.
This water goes that way. Here's the city storm drain system, collection system in the streets. This is all picked up here. It goes into this drainage system at DeLesseps and underneath the Truman over here to the Casey Canal.
Okay.
And that's the city stormwater inventory. So, I mean, that is how the stormwater is dealt with. It really doesn't have anything to do with this site.
But when you fill your site, you will be filling to the base flood elevation.
Yes, ma'am.
At least.
We'll be well above the base flood elevation with the finished floor of the building.
With
well
the fill material. I'm
the
talking
finished
about
floor.
The dirt.
The dirt's going to be somewhere around, I believe we've,
We're on a nine. Elevation 15. But in the 5, 6, 7.
Yeah. The existing. Yeah. Yeah.
Now it'll probably be inundated pretty regularly, I would guess. If that lady's house is at 7 feet and she's getting inundated now.
I mean, and we got to take something else into consideration, right? With that. I don't disagree with you. She is being inundated, but you know, that's not necessarily due to 100-year storm events. Okay.
Understood.
They're flooding worse than others, and it's not necessarily a elevation issue. It quite possibly could be a storm drain system issue. Okay. A conveyance issue. It cannot push enough water through. There might be dirt in the pipes. I'm not telling you I've gone and looked at it. We'd be glad to, but I mean, this whole system right here, I mean, meeting with the neighbors has a history of backing up, and it doesn't seem to me like it's in 100-year rain event only. It's more than likely a conveyance issue. I don't think it's due to the KC stacking up water and that elevation getting so high that it's literally just a lake. I think it's having trouble, getting all the water into the collection system and out.
Understood. My experience is, I've lived here about 18 years. My experience has been that over the past 5 years or maybe longer, storms have become more intense, and I've seen more street flooding over the past, especially 3 or 4 years, than I had seen previous to that.
Sure.
Is that your experience as well?
We've had some strong thunderstorms.
We have.
I think we always have, but we have had some intense rains. Not going to disagree with you.
My understanding from what I hear is that that's not going to lessen. It's going to increase.
I've got no way to tell you that.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thanks.
I have a question.
Oh, go ahead.
You kind of alluded to maintenance, right? Conveyance to get into the canal. So could you address that a little bit more?
I haven't looked into it, but I'm just in the situations where this property, we've been out to this site, all the waters within the banks of the ditches, the canals, in the same instance, some of the parts of the neighborhood have flooded streets. So when I see that, it's not that KC canals backing up and flooding the whole neighborhood. More than likely it's having trouble getting from point A to point B, being the KC canal and the ultimate outfall.
So on your property, is it city streets or private streets?
These will be private.
And who's responsible for maintenance then?
That would be the property owners association, the owners of the building.
Sorry.
The developer.
Who's going to be responsible for maintenance of Reuben Clark Drive?
The maintenance of the street?
I'm sorry. Reuben, if you're going to speak, come up to the microphone and introduce yourself.
My name is Dylan Baines. My office is at 101 Barnard Street. The maintenance of Reuben Clark Drive?
Yes.
It's privately maintained where it's private, and it's publicly maintained where it's City of Savannah.
Understood. Isn't your development going to be
adjacent to the private?
And will you be connecting to the private portion?
Yes.
Okay. So another entity will take care of the drive that your people will use?
That's right. Okay. I'd also like to speak to a proffer we made to the neighborhood. It's one of four commitments we've made, and that is to hire a survey team and work with Coleman Engineer off-site in the neighborhood to look at the conveyance issues that they have to determine why they are flooding, and to publish our results and to create advocacy with the city for anything that we find that is not operating properly.
Okay. Ms. Ross, you had...
Just lastly, since we're on the future land use map again, we're kind of limited to this specific item, but, we're not changing the use. Staff in its own report on the future land use map, I believe, and in the zoning, mentioned the fact that having more compact footprints of the development of the site through a multifamily development as opposed to, say, a townhome development or a single family development is preferred, both from especially on an environmental impact basis. It's in the staff report. And so, I think we feel the same way about it. We feel that multifamily is a less impactful. It allows us to go up as opposed to going out broad, and then allows us to make the site more compact so that we can, in fact, conserve more of it. And so we're not trying to make some huge fundamental change here. It is simply, from a future land use standpoint, which already allows our use and our project on the east side, is it better off for us to have it on the west? And that's really the question, this the succinct question that's in front of us today. Stormwater and all these other things have to be addressed through site plans and with engineers when we get way down the road of doing that. And the future land use designation isn't going to affect ultimately how we treat the stormwater or whether or not we meet the stormwater ordinance of the city of Savannah. It's been a lot of multifamily projects, John Carter Road, a lot of projects in the last several months that were in floodplains. As was mentioned, this entire area is in the floodplain. I believe the mayor mentioned in a meeting that if we didn't develop in the floodplain in Savannah, we wouldn't have much development. It's an issue. And so the ordinance does not prevent us from developing a floodplain. It does not prevent us from developing near wetlands. It requires us, more strict than the state, to meet the requirements of the city zone ordinance. And I know the city manager's mentioned it many times, and we'll have to do that. And so none of that's going to change dependent upon this simple question of the change of the future land use map.
I do hear what you're saying, Mr. McCorkle, but by the same token, as it stands, the high part of the property is already zoned for residential, and the low part of the property is for conservation.
And the concern that was expressed when we wanted to develop that site was that we were going to create a dam in between the neighborhood to the east, trying to get its water down further at a lower elevation. Now we're trying to develop at a lower elevation and leave 500 feet of trees in between us and the neighborhood, which will allow that stormwater to flow down towards us, down towards the canal. And then that's also an issue. So it's one way or another. We think that it's better this way and better to have this buffer between us and them. Thank you.
Anything else? Any discussion? All right, I'm ready for a motion.
Cole's motion to approve staff's recommendation.
Plunk, second.
All right, I have a motion and a second. Ms. Amick?
Yes.
Ms. Bowles?
No.
Mr. Coles?
Yes.
Mr. Kegler?
Yes.
Mr. Melder?
Yes.
Mr. Notrika?
Yes.
Mr. Plunk?
Yes.
Ms. Ross?
No.
Mr. Welsh?
Yes.
Mr. Wywoody?
Yes.
I too say no. Motion passes. We'll let them do the speaker for the zoning.
Did you call for Mr. Urban's vote?
Oh, I'm sorry. Mr. Urban, I forgot that you walked in.
I vote no.
Okay, thank you.
Just for the audience's sake, if you wish to speak, you need to fill out a blue speaker card so that the chair can call upon you.
And we'll let you speak during the zoning. You came in after we had already done speakers.
Awesome. Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the board, Edward Morrow again. We'll move into the rezoning portion of this request, petition 25-002851-ZA-MAP. You can see the zoning map on your screen right now, and the subject parcel is indicated in the hashing. You can see that this is largely an area of RSF6, single-family detached, relatively low-density zoning, and it adjoins RSF10, which is an even larger zoning designation, so 10,000 square feet in RSF10 versus RSF6, which is 6,000. We also have, again, the Truman, and on the other side of the Truman is Memorial Hospital, which is indicated PDS, which is a planned development, and that is a campus that is still undergoing changes at present. So the subject parcel is, again, zoned RSF6 currently. And so to look briefly at the zoning history, there have been at least four previous rezoning requests dating back to 2000. As Mr. McCorkle indicated, the property was zoned R6 and PRM 8.5. Oh, sorry, property zoned R6 and PRM 8.5 was rezoned to PRM 6.5 to permit the construction of 102 apartments, but the development never materialized and was subsequently abandoned. 2003. There was a subsequent petition. Request was denied, an alternative recommendation of R6, which is a single-family detached designation subsequently approved. 2013, yet another that was withdrawn prior to council's hearing it. And most recently in 2022, this board heard this request from RSF6 to RMF2-20 with the intent of developing apartments similarly up to a density of 20 dwelling units per acre. Again, the request today to rezone to RMF2-16 with a proposal of up to approximately 198 dwelling units on the property. So this is the plan that MPC staff was provided back in, I believe, May when this application came in. This was made available via a website where both staff and I believe the public were guided to gain an understanding of how this proposal had changed since the previous time that it appeared at this board. There is, for the record, there is another submission that came in on July 29th that was not part of staff's evaluation simply because it came in at such a late hour. But it's simply a more detailed sort of depiction of what it is that the developer is proposing here. This is a site that is just over 14 acres. You can see here 14.35 acres in total. And according to this, the developer intends to impact about 5.6 acres. And you can see that buffer going down toward what you see is a Georgia Power easement. And then ultimately, this is the frontage of the property at where 62nd and 63rd. This is Reuben Clark here. Just for some context, you can see that entry is proposed here off of Reuben Clark. And so I will walk through the criteria again in the interest of helping everyone understand how we got to the recommendation. Whether the range of uses permitted by the zoning district is more suitable than the range of uses that are permitted currently. In looking at both the history and the context, this parcel currently carries a maximum gross potential density of 104 dwelling units. And so that's considering that entire area. If that were built out at the current zoning density that's permitted, you would get about 104.18 units. And so it makes sense in looking at the zoning history of this particular parcel and also looking at the surrounding context. The intent of this board has been to permit something along these lines. Some of the other proposals that we saw, at least one of them was more so like an acute care facility. So they were proposals that had more to do with actual hospital-related uses. We know that these parcels were previously under the ownership of the hospital authority. And so in looking at that, it seemed that there was an intent to kind of connect these parcels and the development there with what was going on at that institutional use. Nonetheless, in considering the environmental context, considering the existing neighborhood context and the zoning history, it appears that a density up to about 7.26 units is appropriate for this site and that a reconfiguration consistent with its environmental context may be appropriate. Whether the proposed zoning district addresses a specific need, again, there is a very well-established need for housing within the region, and the petitioner indicates their intent to close that gap in available housing. Whether the zoning proposal adversely affects the existing use or usability, staff found two very critical concerns, the first being the potential for adverse impacts for the added traffic on Reuben Clark Drive for emergency and support vehicles that are accessing the hospital. So it is not to say that there is not the potential for development on this parcel, but it should not come at any cost. And what is likely the least viable access has been chosen in order to permit what would be up to 200 dwelling units almost. And so first and foremost, staff would recommend that this, if this is to be developed as proposed, that consideration of a second entry so that any vehicles that rely on Reuben Clark Drive to get into the hospital. Not only that, to ease concern for pedestrians who can often be seen crossing the streets from the parking lots that are on the other side, headed toward the west side into the city if you happen to make a right out of this proposed development. This goes into those hospital parking lots. And so that's a great concern. A secondary consideration is the fact that The off-street parking requirement is going to also generate additional stormwater runoff. And so there are a number of ways potentially that we could mitigate those. And they're secondary, again, because there are potential mitigating factors or conditions that could be implemented at the site development stage, but they should be known and understood at this point. So some of those staff recommendations might include reducing the overall density, consistent with staff's recommendation, reducing the project's off-street parking requirement, or most likely, or in addition, conditioning approval of use on installation of parking surfacing that is pervious, and also the inclusion of best management practices, as we see from the coastal stormwater supplement, given our coastal context. This is what I've been referring to here with Reuben Clark. If you would head west leaving this development, you would come into Memorial Hospital's campus, and this is Reuben Clark. You can see with these pedestrian stripes that are here, it's private property, and these are the parking lots. If you've ever come to the hospital, you will park here and you will walk across. This is a view of what that looks like, so not by any means a typical city street. This is connections of a campus between buildings, linking parking lots to streets, in essence. This is the first intersection that you come to if you were to, again, make that right and head west, leaving this proposed development. This is the first intersection. You would turn left and you would go into Memorial's parking lot. But again, this is where kind of a series of crossings for folks to leave their vehicles in the parking lot and to go over to hospital offices or to visit or to see a doctor. So this is what you're looking at. It's not a public street context. Whether the zoning proposal is compatible, as Ms. McCorkle indicated, a compact footprint is most desirable in this context. And so in combination with some of those other approaches to mitigating the amount of impervious surface that we place, kind of reducing the potential footprint in this area would be most desirable to ensure that this particular use is least burdensome for those who are already situated there. It's important to note that the city has updated or has adopted updated standards with regard to flood damage prevention. And so in combination, again, there are requirements to ensure that those who are going into new developments are situated higher because of the new freeboard requirement, and then also that those who are still there are not left inundated by additional flood water that would rise as a result of new development that would be situated next to them. Adequate public facilities. Adequate city services will be required, and this will be determined if there are any system improvements that are required. This is what would be evaluated and considered during that site plan approval process. I'll note that there have already been some site plan review comments, and so this is coming from that. This 200 dwelling units as kind of an upward indicator. As long as the structure is sprinkled according to IFC requirements, essentially the developer with only one means of access for a fire apparatus, they're going to be capped at 200 units. So at 201, I believe, they're going to be required to provide a second access point for fire. Nonetheless, staff does recommend that there would be a second one, not only for emergency purposes, but also for traffic generated by the development itself for those who are living there. It's a second means of ingress and egress. And so with that, I'm going to leave you with this view of the subject parcel. Again, the one means that was chosen for ingress egress is likely the least viable. We can see that, again, this is crossing into private property here. After you come through the elbow, there is a portion of Reuben Clark that is public, and you can see that it serves as the entrance and exit for students and faculty, I believe, here at Jenkins High School. And so that's where this entrance, folks would enter right here next to Jenkins. It would come down, and the apartments would be situated right here. So we are already well aware, if you have anything to do with there's Calvary Day School here, there's also Jenkins. If you know about high school students at either end, you are impacted by very young people or parents who are trying to get their children to school, in addition to Durin, which also currently suffers its own issues with regard to traffic flow. So with that, MPC staff is recommending denial of the request for RMF 216. Alternatively, Well, if this is to be considered at the RMF 216 density level, there should be a study of a viable second passenger and emergency vehicle access point before approval at this density. Staff would recommend alternatively approval of rezoning at RMF 2-8 with the following conditions, that wetlands-related permitting be finalized before any development, or sorry, land disturbing activity takes place. And steps 2 and 3 are related to bring a general development plan meeting the standards of Section 384 before the Planning Commission for its consideration. And step 3 is really just pulling out what would happen with regard to stormwater in particular at the specific development plan level so that it could be debated and understood. If this board is going to permit this, then it should have the opportunity to ensure that these calculations and the estimations of the engineers are meeting kind of their intent in allowing this to move forward. And so these items, again, A, B, C, and D, are pulled from current requirements related to specific site plan development related to stormwater. So
they will have to do that anyway, correct?
They will have to do that anyway. Staff is recommending that this board condition that they be brought back at the GDP stage. I will say as current staff, I personally would send these things to the Planning Commission given how contentious they are and how sensitive they are. Nonetheless, without that condition, future staff, if this is not a condition, may not necessarily have to forward that to the Planning Commission for consideration. So,
all right, thank you.
Happy to answer any questions.
And the applicant was ready to present.
Yeah, that's fine. Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chairman. Robert McCorkle here again on behalf of Columbia Ventures. Sorry, you got to listen to me twice. So again, this is the project for Reuben Clark Apartments from RSF 6 to RMF 216, like we discussed. Proposed project, we anticipate having 198 units. As was mentioned in the previous hearing, the anticipation is to have parking on the ground floor with 3 levels of apartment units up above. We were here in 2023 seeking approval. We were seeking at a higher density than what we're seeking at now. We were seeking an RMF 220. As was mentioned before, we received an MPC recommendation for approval, and then we were denied at City Council based on neighbors' objections to the location of the site next to their properties. In response, over the last 2 years, my client, to their credit, has going back to the drawing board on this project, he's had numerous Greg, myself, others, had numerous meetings with the neighborhood and with other stakeholders and with Memorial Hospital. And I'm going to let Mr. Baines speak on that for a second at the end here. And we've now come back to you with this revised request. Just to highlight the main differences between what we were asking to do in 23 and what we're doing now. Based on the neighbor's requests. One, we've moved the building 700 feet to the west. And so, as was mentioned, this creates a 500-foot buffer between us and the neighborhood that is the portion of the neighborhood that's immediately to the east. Our intent is to provide this area as a conservation use easement. As was just approved, at least for recommendation for the flume, this area will be designated for conservation. Again, almost 2/3 of the site, about 9 acres of the 14, would be designated for conservation. This allows this buffer to provide neighborhood drainage and to create a buffer so that essentially you wouldn't be able to see the buildings from the neighborhood streets. We also lowered the heights of the building. When we were here in 2023, we were asking for 5 stories. I think we were originally asking for 6 stories when we first started that process and then backed it down to 5, which is what was approved here. And then now what we're going to be is basically 4 stories with 3 stories above the parking. As I mentioned, we lowered the density. We also took away the because of moving the site, it allows us to park everything on site without having to park on the other side of Reuben Clark Drive. I know if you recall in the old petition, there was some parking that was probably going to have to be across the street with a crosswalk, perhaps. And I know that was a concern at the time. And so doing it this way has allowed us to get rid of that as well. We've also maintained no access on the 62nd and 63rd. I know it was mentioned by staff that this is a less desirable access. We believe that Reuben Clark is a much more desirable access. We'll get out of that in a second. But it's more desirable for the neighbors is the main thing. through the course of the meetings that we had in 2023 and the meetings we had this year, it's very clear that the neighbors do not want the property driving directly exiting in and out of 62nd and 63rd Street. That was the main concern. And so I've stood here a couple of times over the last few months and said to y'all, we stand with the neighbors on this issue. And we again stand with the neighbors on this issue and are happy to develop the project in the manner in which we're proposing. We believe that the site is well placed for multifamily. We believed it in 23, we believe it today, and we believe it even more so now with the way the project has changed. This is the updated conceptual plan that was sent to staff last week. And the reason it changed, what changed on this from what was in there before, was that before it was two buildings plus an office and an amenity building, and now you'll see it's four buildings plus an office and an amenity building. This was actually done through, we're already working on site plan discussions with various groups, one of which is emergency services. And so this was a request of emergency services that we have smaller buildings instead of larger buildings and that we break it up. And so that's what changed between what was sent last week and what had previously been sent out. The project is obviously immediately adjacent to one of the county's two largest employers. I want to quote the Burt Brantley, who's the chairman of the chamber, had an article in the paper earlier this spring, you may have read it, and he mentioned in his article about housing being critical for economic development in the city, that the demand for trained and skilled workers is accelerating, but workers, especially early to mid-career, struggle to find housing near their jobs. Many look further out, which ultimately drives up commute times and reduces quality of life. We envision this project as being a great source for housing for Memorial's employees and their staff and their doctors that are there. We see them as the primary tenants. We've had multiple meetings with Memorial and discussed with them having direct access to us as we go through a rental process, as well as coordinating available units and vacant units with them when they become available so that they can make their staff and employees aware. The property is also located on the Tied to Town Trail, which they're currently constructing there on that side of the road, directly will connect onto this project, which allows people to get on a bicycle and ride to Whole Foods, go to the grocery store. You have schools within walking and bike riding distance. You have grocery stores within walking and bike riding distances. So we see this really as an ideal location. That's what we want. We want connected communities. We talk a lot about having connected communities and about having alternatives to cars. And we believe that this site provides that. Also, the new development preserves green space in the sense that we are shifting this site over, preserving the green space, as we talked about a lot before, and the conservation easement. We also intend to implement best environmental practices as we go forward through this process. We're discussing the staff report about pervious pavers and other things that we can address when we get to site plan, which we intend to do. Also, I don't believe in any way that this site is ultimately creating a traffic issue. This is the picture of the entrance, the bifurcated entrance, four-lane entrance of Reuben Clark Drive onto Durin. The Reuben Clark Drive is partially public, partially private. It essentially operates as a public street. It is used. I've driven it. Y'all have probably all driven it. It operates essentially as a public street, which is also mentioned in the staff report. There seems to be a concern in the staff report about potential traffic on Reuben Clark Drive creating a problem for Memorial. That seems to be the main issue that's stated in there in the staff report as a whole. And it's really the main basis of my reading of the staff report is why they're suggesting half as much density is to avoid having more traffic on the road. We were not aware of this concern really until we got the staff report when we were on the agenda previously, which is why we pulled it from the agenda so we could try to look at it. And we engaged Whitney Shepherd, a transport studio, to do a traffic analysis of Reuben Clark Drive, which was submitted to the staff last week. And I'm just going to, it's in the packet and it's attached to the agenda. And I'll just read from it briefly. Based on existing traffic and the projected traffic generated by the residential development, traffic operations on Reuben Clark Drive would remain at a free-flowing condition both during peak hours and throughout the average day, with a level of service being B on a scale ranging from A to E. So it would be a B level of service even after our project is developed. She mentions there are about 3,500 vehicles a day going in and out of the water's entrance. And then there's about 357 total vehicles going in and out of Durin. Now, 357. That road is hardly used. The reality is that from Truman Parkway down to Durin, where our project is going to be located, that portion of the road is hardly used. And we believe that probably 75% of our traffic is going to go that way. because you can more quickly get on to, you can quickly get on a Truman Parkway that way. You don't, you've got access in both directions from that location. And in addition, even if they do go the other way, there was a comment made that to go to Delessus, you got the drive through memorial. But that's not actually accurate. There's a frontage road that runs to Delessus before you ever get into the parking lot of Memorial. And so even if you are going the other way to get on Truman, you can get off at the frontage road on Delessus there without having to cross in. So ultimately, through Whitney's report, which is in there, says that where we'd end up at a level of service was about 400 cars additional approaching Waters, and then a certain number of cars addition, approaching Durin, but that ultimately it would all remain at a level of service B, not lessening the level of service that already exists. So we read that to mean there is essentially no impact analysis. Also think it's important to note that Memorial does not share the same concern that was referenced. We submitted today, and it should also be attached to the agenda, is a letter of support from Brad Talbert, who's the CEO of Memorial Hospital. And he mentions in his letter, I'm the CEO of Memorial Hospital just down the way from the proposed Reuben Clark Apartments. This proposal represents a vital opportunity to create much-needed workforce housing less than a quarter of a mile from Memorial Health, one of Savannah's largest and most critical employers. Locating new homes this close to the hospital would directly benefit healthcare workers and other staff who currently struggle to find housing nearby. This proximity not only improves quality of life for our employees, but also strengthens the hospitality or the hospital's ability to attract and retain talent, a key public benefit. And so we think the support of Memorial Health, particularly given that we are going to be using or sharing a road with them, is imperative here, and we're glad to have it. Real quickly, I want to talk about some of the criteria from zoning, and then Mr. Bain is going to talk about the community involvement. One is whether this project serves a need. Obviously, everyone's aware of the urgent regional need for additional housing. Y'all hear it at every project that comes up for housing. This one particularly, in this close proximity to a major employer, provides a really unique opportunity. And with public trails, the Tie to Town Trail, and schools nearby, is a great location for multifamily. We do believe now that we have recommendation for the flume change, even though the use was permitted on the site before, it is consistent with the future land use map. And our zoning request of 16 units an acre is within the 10 to 20 units an acre that Residential General supports, which was just supported by this body. Does it have a suitable use as zoned? We believe the answer is no. I don't think this project, I think everybody would agree, this site is never going to be developed as single family residential. Hasn't been for the last however many years. It's probably never going to be. It's simply too expensive. It's too complicated. It's too expensive to develop for single family residential. And we're certainly not going to attack housing needs by adding a few houses on this particular site. Multifamily much more attacks that process. What we believe, and one of the criteria is our zoning request more suitable than the current zoning? We believe that it is. Staff report mentions the rezoning of parcel to permit more compact form of development is advisable, and in the interest of sensitivity to the environment, context, a compact footprint is more desirable. And that's what we're trying to do. Ultimately, when you read the staff report, I think it seems as though the staff support multifamily on the site. They supported the change of the future land use map, and they agree that multifamily is suitable and appropriate use. The only issue we're having a real discussion about is what's the density of that use, really? And so what we'd ask is, why cut the density in half? If cutting the density in half is usually something that's done to fight traffic, and there is no traffic issue here. We've provided traffic analysis. This road is hardly used on the portion that our property will be on, and Memorial's not concerned, and we'll certainly address any issues with them and what we're dealing with. But less units doesn't mean less environmental impact. We could have the same number of buildings in the same footprint, or have more buildings and just have less units. So we're building the same project. We're just going to provide less housing. And we don't see any reason to do that, particularly because the project simply isn't viable at less housing. This is an expensive build. It's going to be a process. You've heard about a lot of it in the stormwater for the last part. But because of that, there has to be a certain core amount of units on the site to make it buildable. And so that's why we remain and continue to ask for the 16, which is a reduced amount, but will allow us to build 194 units that we think are necessary to develop the project. And real quick, I'm going to have Dylan Baines from Columbia Ventures come up and mention about his community engagement, because I think based on the last go around in 23, it's important for him to make note of that.
Again, hi, I'm Dylan Baines. I'm the managing partner of Columbia Ventures. We started our company in 2013. We're developers of multifamily and mixed-use communities in Jacksonville, Augusta, Savannah, Atlanta, and Denver. I live here. My partner Jake lives here. Our office is on Broughton Street. We purchased this site in November of 2023 for two simple reasons. It's a quarter mile away from the largest and most stable employer in the region, Savannah's Medical District, and it has a future land use designation of residential general. It just makes sense, right? After our troubled efforts back in 2023, which the MPC supported, we made the decision to go back to square one and try to meet every stakeholder, especially the neighbors, and listen to their input and try to create a better plan. Towards that end, we met with the Housing Coalition, Housing Savannah, EMB Savannah, Tide to Town, City of Savannah, the Army Corps of Engineers, Alderwoman Wilder Bryan, and both Alderwomen at Large Bell and Blakely. We made outreach to the mayor's office. We've spoken with multiple parties in Memorial Health. With the help of Alderwoman Wilder Bryan, we secured the Pennsylvania Avenue Resource Center twice back in March in the late afternoon and held neighborhood meetings to get input and provide follow-up. We met with and interacted with neighborhood leadership many times since then. We held an on-site meeting on Reuben Clark Drive to look at impacts in May on a Sunday afternoon at the Alderwoman's request. We then held a Zoom call the following Tuesday in the evening so neighbors who had conflicts with the other meetings could attend. We've had a website live for months, reubenclarkapartments.com, and provide meeting notices and updates there, as well as up-to-date land plans and engineering plans. In short, we've taken the time to listen to the stakeholders. We moved the development 700 feet away from the homes on East 63rd Street, and we've eliminated all vehicular connections to the neighborhood. Both were deal breakers for them. We made a couple of commitments. We have committed to conserving all the land east of the development in perpetuity so that additional development will not occur. We've agreed to volunteer our time and hire our civil and survey teams to help provide reconnaissance on key flood areas adjacent in the neighborhood and provide documentation and advocacy if issues are discovered. We have fine-tuned our approach on stormwater issues on the property and will meet or exceed every city, state, and federal requirement for the development. We were asked to consider strongly pervious parking and have agreed to do so. The breakpoint would be is if it became commercially unreasonable to pursue. So finally, we commit to all the neighbors and stakeholders, the MPC and the City of Savannah, to operate a first-class community on Reuben Clark Drive. We live here, we work here, we want to be good neighbors for many years to come. I ask your support for the project. Thank you.
And thank you all again. We support the request as we've made it. We had asked for your approval of the request to RMF 6216. We don't believe the conditions are necessary. I know there was discussion about part of the conditions are that a lot of the specific development plan needs to be done at the time of the general development plan, which just really, frankly, makes the general development plan significantly more expensive on the front end, where we're working on full specific development plans before we've had time to make sure our general development plan is okay. And so I think we feel like the process that the city already has in place is a good one. We'll be required to provide all of that data about stormwater and everything else through a specific site plan process, which we think is in place. So we would just ask for approval of the RMF 216, and I'm happy to answer any questions you have.
Thank you. All right.
Sorry, that's your leisure. One, on your map, can you show me where you connect to the trail?
So the specific connection is not in place, not certain how it will be, because again, this is just a conceptual one pager. When we get to the specific development plan, we'll have it, but the trail is being constructed as it currently is right there along basically our property line. So all we'll have to do is if there's a fence or something, we'll just have a direct connection onto it.
Second, is your parking covered?
Some of it will be covered, some of it will not be. So a portion of the parking will be underneath the buildings. So that portion of it will all be covered, and then certain portions of it will also be outside.
What we see on the diagram with the spaces, those will not be covered.
Yeah, the spaces that are shown outside from underneath the building, I believe, will not be covered.
Okie doke. And last, when you were having your conversations with the community, did you meet with anybody from Jenkins?
Jenkins, the high school. No, we did not.
Because my curiosity was piqued when you talked about the survey you'd done, the traffic survey. Was that conducted while school was in session or during the summer?
I'm not sure. It's based on general traffic counts. So, but I believe it was, she anticipated school in the report, but the school traffic, well,
it was included
in her calculation. We've provided the letter, so you certainly got a copy of it. As we get closer to site plan too, again, we're here for the zoning portion of this, but as we get closer to site plan, we'll have to coordinate with that as well with the school board. So I would anticipate as we get into the real nitty gritty of what the site's going to look like and how it's going to function and we go through full traffic engineering review, we'll have that conversation at that time.
I'd encourage you to contact Paul Sidney. He's the principal there.
Sure. Okay.
I'd like to say something first, and that is that it's been pointed out to me that for rezonings, we really shouldn't be considering what it is, what you just said, what it is that you have planned. But given that we have what you had planned, it makes it impossible for me to do this with blinders on. So I do have questions. One of the questions I have is what happens with Reuben Clark after the dump trucks have driven over it a number of times and torn it up, and we have the who fixes?
Well, again, portions of the Reuben Clark are public, portions of it will private. It won't be any different than any other construction project.
The area
that
where
in this
you're
city.
Accessing.
Right. Right. Well, obviously, we'll have to work with Memorial. If there's damage to the road, we'll have to work with Memorial to address that damage. Again, Memorial's in support of our project and in support of the development with the hopes that this will provide housing for their employees. And so, obviously, we'll be in contact with them about it.
Okay.
And so, the maintenance of that portion of that road will be something that we have to deal with Memorial.
I understand. That is for dump trucks, that's one thing. You know, you don't have as much life safety issue with dump trucks. But once you get people into those apartments, you're going to have a whole lot more issues with life safety. If that road washes out during a hurricane because of the water running along the sides of it, a fire truck is not going to be able to get in there and rescue someone. Your people are not going to be able to get out. I think that Mr. Morrow actually has experienced what it's like to have your only road in and out cut off. And that is a huge life safety issue for me. You only have one way in and one way out. And I'm sure you've heard me say before, my least favorite design is one way in and one way out. The other thing is there's an awful lot of parking shown here for parking underneath as well. Are we really considering parking underneath, and is all that parking necessary? I guess that's probably one for the engineer, but.
We need to meet the parking requirements of the city unless we request a variance through our site plan process. This is without anticipation of variance, obviously, for the conceptual design, but we'll provide whatever the required parking is.
And you did state that Reuben Clark was your you thought that was a more desirable location for that. This is a more desirable location for your development than the high ground.
I think it's certainly more desirable based on our conversations and our many meetings with the stakeholders in the neighborhood who don't want a project built immediately adjacent to their property. Obviously, we were okay building it where it was when we asked for it previously, but that wasn't acceptable to the neighbors. And so what we've tried to do is come up with a project that allows the property to be developed for, I think, a use that people would agree is a good use. But to do that, we've got to move it down to the western portion of the property.
Okay.
And it does create a buffer between, we had a lot of discussion in 2023 about whether or not it's okay to have multifamily located immediately next to single family. And a lot of people have mixed opinions about that. This allows it to be next to them, but also allows us to have a buffer. And so we do think it's better for all those involved.
And I I do want to say that I apologize that I was not here for the meeting back in 2023. I would have been the second no.
appreciate that.
I just wanted to clarify that I did not vote in favor of this before. All right. There was one. Oh, I know. Mr. Morrow, it seems like when we were going through the report, you had said something that the zoning was going from single family to multifamily. Did that happen back in 2023?
There was a similar request back in 2023, but in the zoning history, in the previous request that had come to this board to change the zoning of the property, it had previously been zoned for a multifamily use. So I'm not sure which exactly you're referring to, but yes. So the request is to rezone to a multifamily use that actually within it permits apartments, townhomes, single family detached homes, a full range of residential.
Do you think that when the future land use map was developed and the comprehensive plan was reworked for this, that the envisionment was for an apartment complex, or do you think it was envisioned that the subdivision type development that exists on the sides of this development was envisioned?
I think the flume designation that you see more so indicates the land that was buildable. It was upland acreage. It was immediately adjacent to the two public rights of way. I don't read it to say that it advocates for one specific zone as opposed to another. If the in the translation of one zoning district like previous to NUZO, however, the existence of low-density, well-established neighborhood, RSF 6, and RSF 10 even adjoining is probably – so the NUZO translation is probably more of an indication of what might be appropriate, in which then even those adjoining thoroughfares will acknowledge that those go through well-established neighborhoods. The thing that's really different about intensifying use at this particular location is the fact that at either end of this street are institutional uses – one where you have new drivers and another one where you have new drivers. It's not necessarily that I fully understand the idea that we're going to send our apartment dwellers out to Durin. We don't want them going through the neighborhood. It is least viable, again, because of the presence of the institutional uses and not necessarily because there's the benefit there of kind of bypassing the residents that are within this very quiet and serene neighborhood, if that makes
sense. Do you think those hospital nurses and doctors that we're gearing this toward are going to want to live in an apartment or a home?
If they could afford it, the apartment.
If they could afford the apartment?
If they could afford it, sure. That's the biggest concern.
Students, yeah, maybe. Okay. All right.
One comment too, Madam Chairman. I'm not looking at the current future land use map, but I believe the neighborhood area is designated as something other than residential general. I don't remember it exactly in my head, but you asked a question about whether apartments were anticipated in the flume on this location. I remember making the argument before in 2023 that it was what was anticipated because I recall this parcel had residential general on it when the neighborhood is single family residential, which are two different designations. And the only reason to have residential general is because you want to allow multifamily on a parcel. So I do believe that the future land use map that existed before today was anticipating multifamily development on this site.
All right.
Just to
you.
Answer that question.
Other questions? Go ahead, Ms. Amy.
Is it correct to assume this apartment complex will be allowing short-term rentals?
No, I don't think it's correct to assume short-term rentals. It's anticipated it will be a normal long-term multifamily project, unless I'm mistaken.
Most of our communities have 12-month leases. Sometimes we'll make an exception and do a 6-month lease. We've experimented in Atlanta with renting a few units on a Airbnb-type basis where they're fully furnished, but the experiment has been kind of a mixed result. So these are going to be traditional minimum lease of 12 months.
I'm asking that because that's obviously a more transient, more cars, more people. And the location near the hospital lends itself. There's a company called Furnished Finders where people are getting anywhere from a 2 week to a 3 month place.
Traveling nurse, traveling doctor type situation.
But not just the doctors. I have a property that I use for it, and it's anybody. It's someone in hospitality coming in. I got a request yesterday from a chef who wants to stay in a place for a month or so until they can find a house. So, mm-hmm. I mean, that's a much different demographic mm-hmm. versus long-term renters.
Yeah. I think the intention is for it to be long-term. I suspect we'll have some of that conversation with Memorial. I lived in one like that in Charlotte for a while, the post apartment downtown or uptown in Charlotte, where they allowed you to rent by the month so that corporate, the banks and all the different organizations could use it to put their people in for short-term projects. So that's certainly possible.
Mr. Melder.
Just note that this is not within the city's short-term vacation rental zone, so it would not be allowable to have a short-term vacation rental as defined.
But that would be 30 days, right?
30 days, yeah.
Any other comments? I did want to acknowledge and thank Mrs. Alderwoman Lanier for being here. She was.
She stuck out.
Darn. Yes, yes.
Madam
I'm
Chair.
To that.
I also want to make note that you have Mercer University mm-hmm. on campus at Memorial for students who go through the whole year process. And I'm sure they're like to live close by. And I want to commend a 500-foot buffer to the east. I can't tell you the last time we saw a 500-foot buffer on any project. And that really does support the neighborhood to not have to see this site, which I think is going to be a fabulous site, especially being closer to the Truman. But I can't tell you how many times I've seen a 500-foot buffer in here.
Thank you, Mr. Welch.
Yep.
All right. I do have some cards for speaking. Ms. Gunn, would you like to come up and speak again?
Yes, thank you. Hello again, Robin Gunn, 2243 Armstrong Drive, Savannah. I live about 2.5 blocks east of the property between 63rd and 64th Street. I am here to conditionally support the application's petition as it was originally submitted for the rezoning proposal, provided that all of the development proposal conditions noted in the application are required with the zoning change. Those are constructing the apartment complex on the 5 acres on the western edge of this 14-acre parcel. Number two, preserving the remaining approximately 9 acres in a conservation easement that will prohibit future development. Number three, providing enhanced drainage relief, including installing pervious paving if feasible, to prevent increased nearby flooding, particularly to my neighbors who live to the north of this property. And number four, providing automobile access to the development solely from Reuben Clark Drive. In 2023, after Columbia Ventures' original proposal was denied at City Council based on strong opposition from the neighborhood, I submitted a request to the City of Savannah that they acquire the parcel and preserve it under a conservation easement. I was willing and happy to help with that process. While my preference, as Mr. McCorkle indicated, for this property will always be that it is totally preserved as an undeveloped woodland and wetland, it seems inevitable that something is going to be built here. And I feel that this proposal is the best that we are going to get. I do not want to see what happened to my neighborhood, what happened to Sandfly about 25 years ago when Target came in with a reasonable proposal. The neighborhoods objected. They abandoned it. And then Walmart came in with a worse proposal that passed. I do not want that to happen to us. Preserving 10 of the 14 acres with construction only occurring on the part of the property furthest from my existing neighborhood while also providing our city with much needed housing is a compromise that I can support. Since February, I've been one of the neighbors in frequent communication with Dylan Baines of Columbia Ventures. He has completely revised this plan compared to the original 2023 proposal that I strongly opposed. He has made improvements addressing the major concerns brought up at that time, and he has been communicative and respectful and patient during the entire process. My greatest remaining concern is the potential increase in flooding that this development may bring for my neighbors who are already having a horrible flooding situation, the people that live directly north and to the east of this property. Baines has agreed, as he mentioned earlier, to provide extra enhancements to his development intended to prevent their flooding from worsening, and he has also offered to provide some technical assistance to my neighbors, as we heard, as they work with the city of Savannah to address the chronic flooding problems mostly caused from outflow problems.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Laura Lane McKinnon.
Good afternoon. My name is Laura Lane McKinnon, and I live at 620 East 58th Street, just about a quarter mile from Memorial Hospital and about a half a mile from the proposed site. I'm here to express my support for the rezoning request. And concerns have been raised about the Reuben Clark Drive as the project's primary access point, but I do believe that those concerns are overstated. It's well-paved, well-maintained road, and already used daily by hospital staff, vendors, and delivery vehicles. Adding residential traffic, people commuting to and from work on foot, on bike, and by car won't fundamentally change the character or pose unusual risks to pedestrians or emergency vehicles. And I would also note that there is a frontage road that connects to DeLesseps Avenue as well. So going through the campus is not the only option. I say that as someone who lives nearby and utilizes that frontage road. I also understand the environmental concerns, but in truth, thoughtful, compact, multifamily housing is more environmentally responsible than single-family sprawl. Lower density development will require more roads, more driveways and clearing, consuming more land and increasing stormwater runoff. This project, by contrast, clusters housing on less than half the site, preserves substantial green space and enables reasonable stormwater management. It places more people closer to jobs and services, reducing car trips and minimizing the environmental impacts. In my view, the greater risk is continuing to say no to smart infill development, especially in walkable, job-rich areas like this one. Further, this project reflects community input, respects environmental realities, and meets a growing need for housing. I respectfully urge you to approve this rezoning and allow the project to advance and help address the urgent need for more housing in our community. Thank you.
Thank you. Oliver Gary. State your name for the record, please.
My name is Oliver Casangari. I live at 1718 East 60th Street. My concerns about this construction are mostly related to nature. We have a family of owls and redhawks that live somewhere in the area that I would hate. I don't know where they live, but I would hate to lose them. And also, if I can just point out on the map up here, this is the ridge line that they're showing, and right here, headed in this line of trees, is actually a creek that runs all the way down and through here. From the high point here, it pinches here and then runs up and over this ridge line that is supposed to be protecting our neighborhood, and you can see it further here. This is where water flows here, and this is where water flows here, and it pools here, and then if you went an inch further, there would be our backyard, some of our backyards. So I feel like the if we're going to pursue this, the flooding and mitigation plan should be a little bit more robust. And just backtracking to the nature aspect of this thing, I know that I bought our house in the neighborhood 4 years ago, and the whole neighborhood's been in construction for 4 years, and I am suffering from a little bit of construction fatigue. And with excitement for the new trail going in, it cuts through a very quiet, peaceful, nature-involved part of the city. It's a very different section from the rest of the trail. And if this were to go forward, I'm hoping that we could preserve some of the more natural aspects with the integration with the trail, as well as, again, like I mentioned earlier, respecting
the drainage. But yeah, we all need housing. It's always going to be traffic with all that stuff. I got more notes, but I'm just repeating what other people said. Yeah, again, main concern is integration with the bike trail and also doing a real survey of the area and walking back there with muck boots in the wet season we have now, to kind of see more of where the water's flowing during our big rainstorms from the high point up here down through surface level and as well with surface level over here flowing this way. And again, the rest of the map where the flooding, as Myra showed, is up and off. But that also, well, if it is caused from a clogged drain at one end, our whole stormwater ditch is shaped like a U because all the water flows here and it gets stuck somewhere up there off the map. But while I know water is controlled on their property,
thank you.
When water flows off the property, it needs somewhere to go.
Thank you. Jennifer Malik.
Hi, thanks for having me. I'm Jennifer Malik. I live at the corner of 65th and Spring Hill. So if you're looking, and I'm assuming from this map, I can see Reuben Clark from my house from that corner now, because when they put the trail in, they took down a bunch of trees. So not only do I see Reuben Clark and the traffic on the Reuben Clark, but I see the Truman traffic and I hear it now, which never have. I've been there 8 years on that corner. I heard that it got shut down in 23. I was excited about that because I didn't like the idea. I didn't find out that this was an issue again. I didn't know that this came up again until a couple months ago. I came here a couple months ago and the meeting was canceled. So I'm here today because I've talked with Kente, who is the evidently spokesperson, vice president of the neighborhood association, which again, I did not know we even had until a month ago. He said that it was going to be two-story apartments. And he said that it was definitely not going to come in at 63rd or 62nd. Well, I definitely do not want it to come on 65th or 60th or 59th or 58th, because I can walk 100 paces to Reuben Clark. It would be like the ultimate place for them to put an access route, but that would bring all that traffic into my neighborhood. Our neighborhood has no throughway. We don't have people cutting through to get somewhere quicker. It's quiet. We finally have young families with kids coming. People are walking their dogs all the time. Spring Hill is a school zone. Duren, where Reuben Clark comes out, is a school zone. So all this traffic is going to be coming into Memorial Hospital or outside of Duren. And if it becomes an issue, I just need a guarantee that it's not going to come through our neighborhood ever on any street that comes off of Spring Hill. Because all I'm hearing is 63rd and 62nd, but nobody's saying anything about the other streets. So I don't want to leave that open-ended so that they can come back and say, oh, well, Memorial doesn't want us to come through their parking lot at the emergency room. We need another access route. And since our property comes right up to 65th, we're going to come right through 65th. I just want peace of mind through this. I love that they moved it over. I don't want to see a five-story apartment building complex from our neighborhood personally. I didn't know that it was going to be more than two. And somebody also has brought up the fact that they're going to put a retail space in there. They haven't quite said what it was. I've heard back in 23, somebody said it was going to be a storage facility, which I'm 100% against, because storage facilities don't always just store things. Then somebody said it was going to be like a cafe off the bike route. And that's great, but nobody's said anything about it today, about a retail space on this piece of property. So there's just a bunch of questions that I have about it. Again, I'm not totally against it. I just want peace of mind. I don't want them coming through my neighborhood.
Thank you.
Thank you.
It is being rezoned for residential use. It is not being rezoned for commercial use.
Not any retail space.
At this point in time, there is no plan for it.
And just to touch on the street numbers, I don't think anything other than 62nd and 63rd were mentioned, because those two specifically abut this particular property. So I don't think 65th or 64th or any of those are even in play here.
I'm pretty sure if they own that piece of land that comes between, if they own the piece of land, because I can see Reuben Clark from right here, and I can't tell from this because they don't have streets on it, But
that's 63rd.
I drove Reuben Clark myself just recently, and no, it doesn't. Where are we? 63rd, 65th, right here. Yes. So here's Reuben Clark Drive. I can now see 65th from 65th and Spring Hill right here to Reuben Clark Drive. It's like 100 paces through the woods, which don't exist anymore because, I mean, there are electric lines that go through, but they have torn down any other foliage that has been a sound barrier for our neighborhood, or for my corner at least, because they put the bike path in. Well, okay, so they put the bike path in. There's other issues with that going on. But Reuben Clark Reuben Clark is right there. So my concern is if the hospital has an issue because it's used for ambulances or the patients or the staff, and you're putting 200 extra cars in this, on this one street, and they say, you know what, this isn't working for us, then they got to find another escape route.
Thank you.
And 65th is the prime location. I don't want them to come through my neighborhood.
It appears that 65th Street, where you're talking about, is outside of the parcel that these mm-hmm. petitioners own.
Oh, they don't own it?
No.
Oh.
So keep an eye out, but I don't think that's a threat to you on that.
All right, we're going to go to online now. I have Mr. Wolf back. Alexander Wolf.
I'm not sure if he will be willing to speak. Let's see.
I did not have anything to add at this point. I do agree with the other residents. And I share that concern about the additional road connection, even though they do not technically own that, that area of land that would connect to Reuben Clark further down, like on 65th. That does seem like a distinct possibility for an agreement to be reached for that connection to be made at some time in the future. These kind of agreements do tend to be slippery, and they do tend to sort of be 1 foot in the door, followed by another and another. And, I think we just want to avoid that. And, again, the primary concern here is the flooding. And I will add that while there was a stated kind of message here of a lot of communication with the neighbors, I mean, I live a block from this property, and I don't know that I've ever gotten any kind of communication other than flagging down random neighbors. So I'm not sure how genuine that effort was, that's all I have to say. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Wolf. All right, and I have Kente Taylor on the line. Mr. Taylor?
I can see them online, unmuted.
Can you unmute yourself?
They're unmuted too, on their end.
He's unmuted?
Yes.
Mr. Taylor, can you go ahead? Guess he had to step away. All right. Any discussion? Any further? Would you like to come back and rebut?
Just real quick, I do believe Mr. Taylor sent in a letter of support, which got delivered today. But, clients worked really hard at this, is all I'll say. It's been a long process. We've been working at this, obviously, now for at least 3 years. And we've really tried to develop something that is satisfactory to the neighbors, the fact that we have some support from Ms. Gunn and others in the neighborhood that we don't have. If you recall, you weren't at that last meeting, but there were a lot of people at that meeting. They were objecting. There were a lot of people at City Hall that were objecting, and we worked really hard. You can never satisfy 100% of people, but we worked really hard to satisfy the majority of them, I believe, with what we're trying to do. And I just wanted to note, too, that Columbia Ventures they own this property. They're developers. They build apartment complexes, Florida, Colorado, Georgia, projects in Atlanta, Jacksonville, Augusta. And they build them. So this isn't a situation we've said all we can onto the public record of what we intend to do. And they're the ones that are going to build it. This is not a situation where we're trying to unload this piece of property to somebody who's going to do something different. So you at least have the reliance of somebody who's local and who is going to be the one that builds the project. So with that, we'd ask for your support of our request as it was made. Thank you.
I have a question, Mr. McCall. You heard a lot of conversation about the agreement that was made between the community members and all, like you said, the number of meetings that you've had and all of the discussion that goes along with that. Would you be amenable to including that agreement in the conditions, if that's possible, staff?
We include it with our application, correct? Yeah, we included, I think, the 4 points of what we had agreed to with community in our application. It's also on our website. We're perfectly happy to have that tied to it, sure.
Mr. Morrow, I think it's going to. Is it possible, Mr. Morrow?
I'm going to pull up the application just so we can see what was actually in there.
I would say that if you're wanting to make sure that this stays with the property, you need to attach it to the zoning because, you know, it needs to live with the property, whatever those conditions are, if they agree to do that. So that has to
be. A clarifying question. Some of those, they described one proffer being technical assistance on stormwater engineering and working with the city. That would just be a one-time issue that would, so would that create problems if that was tied to the zoning of the property?
No, the only thing it does is it kind of helps remind staff that there's some agreement so that when they pull it up, if the application comes in, you've got a list of whatever the conditions are so that you can at least check to make sure that they're being followed. That's probably a one and done, so I agree with you. It's not something that would be forever, but it's something that somebody would be able to.
I guess I would. I understand that. I think it's just a matter of, you know, if it's a land use issue, then it probably is very practical to put it as a condition if it's necessary. But it would just, you know, we would need to look at that.
And no access. That's what it was. I thought it was attached to the thing. It's not. But the 4 points were primarily that we would conserve the 9 acres on the eastern portion of the site. That was item one, which I think we accomplished also by the flume map, which holds it as conservation. Two is that we would assist the neighbors with engineering work in the neighborhood to try to help them address other flooding issues that are off of our site. Three was is that as long as it's commercially reasonable, we would look at pervious surfaces for the parking areas. And then four was that we would have no access onto 62nd and 63rd. So we're perfectly fine. If y'all would like to attach that to the zoning, that's fine.
You get all three of them? Or all four of them? Okay. All right. Any other questions, comments, discussion? Are you ready for the motion?
I am. Before I make the motion, I just want to say that there has been a lot of work done for this particular petition above and beyond what I typically see for developers as far as communication with the community. And within our community, on our Facebook group or whatever, we've done our best to try to reach out to everybody and make sure everyone was aware. So I want to commend that a lot more effort has been put into this go round. And I also think that it's admirable that money is being spent for projects offsite from this property to help the neighborhood, which I would like to see more of from developers that realize that they're developing in areas that have existing conditions that are affecting neighbors. And I think that would just in general be better for our community as a whole. So with all that being said, I make the motion that we approve the petitioner's request for the RMF 216 to include the recommendations from staff points 1 through 3, as well as including in the motion that the petitioner will conserve the 9 acres to the east of this development, that they will stay true to their word to assist the neighbors with engineering, investing in dealing with that infrastructure there and working with the city to alleviate the existing flooding conditions that are there, that they explore using pervious surfaces and as much as they can on this site, and that there will never be any access to 62nd or 63rd Street.
Or 65th.
I would say 65th, but unfortunately that's not part of this particular one. But yeah, so that is my motion.
Plonk second.
All right, I have a motion and a second. Ms. Amick?
Yes.
Ms. Bowles?
Yes.
Mr. Coles?
Yes.
Mr. Kegler?
Yes.
Mr. Melder?
Yes.
Mr. Notrika?
Yes.
Mr. Plunk?
Yes.
Ms. Ross?
Yes.
Mr. Welsh?
Yes.
Mr. Y. Woody?
Yes.
I say no. Motion carries. Thank you.
You're ready for the next one?
I'm sorry.
I'm joking.
That concludes our business for the day. I am ready for a motion, entertain a motion to.
Cole's motion to adjourn.
No, we're not going to do nominations today. We're going to do them next meeting.
1 second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Have a great week. Have a great couple of weeks.